Hello and welcome to Meandering with Myrn, a potpourri of podcasts by me, veterinary ethologist Myrn Milani. Join me as I ponder any and all things animal and human, what we know and what we don't, where we've been, where we are, and where we're headed. Shortly after I moved into this house 20 years ago, I decided to put a flower bed around the mailbox down at the end of the driveway and also on the slope beside the driveway. Because of that, I spent a lot of my spare time down by the road. And because I was down by the road, I saw whatever traffic went by. I live on a small road off a main highway, and the speed limit is 30 miles an hour. Consequently, I paid attention to a large gas-guzzling car that, more often than not, was moving a lot faster than that down the road. The driver of the car was a woman who was very, very intent. I could see her staring through the windshield. She never smiled, she never waved, she never acknowledged that I was even there at all. She just had this very fixed look on her face. Her jaw was set as if she was someone on a mission, someone with a very, very important purpose. And whatever that purpose was, it necessitated her barreling up and down the road at least twice and sometimes three times during the period when I would be outdoors working. Because the gas guzzler apparently had a faulty exhaust system, it also had a very distinctive sound. I paid attention to all these things because I didn't want to get mowed down while I was putting my flower bed in. But the sound of that exhaust system was so distinctive that I knew she also drove up and down the road after dark. Now, this is not going to be a harangue about people who drive gas-guzzling cars with bad muffler systems. Quite the contrary. Well, maybe indirectly, because what caught my attention about this car was that on the front of it, there was a bumper sticker that used to be very common, and it said, "I speak for the animals." This was the first time I had seen that sentiment, and it stuck in my mind for several reasons. One was that I had been studying animal behavior for my entire life, and I would never presume that I speak for any animal species. But equally intriguing for me was the fact that on the few days that this woman actually drove by at 30 miles per hour, I could see that this particular bumper sticker was plastered, as was the grill of her car, with dead insect life. So obviously, her definition of the animals that she spoke for didn't include insects. Or if she did speak for insects, her message must have been something like, "Die, you suckers," because obviously she didn't have their best interests at heart. And that got me thinking, where does she draw the line? Which animals does she speak for and which ones doesn't she? What if a rat crossed the road in front of her car? Would she screech to a halt and swerve and try to avoid it? And when she went barreling down the road at night and she came to the swamp, and it was that time of year when the frogs are just all over the road, did she stop? Did she park her car there and walk through that area so that she wouldn't step on them? Or did she just go barreling on through? And what was on her mind that she was so intent? Was she going to go home and write some scathing letter to the editor about an ad she had seen for fur coats and how horrible that was? Or would it be a letter about how incensed she was that dogs were not permitted to run free on beaches where there were nesting shorebirds? Couldn't people understand that dogs had a right to race into a bunch of nesting birds and enjoy them flying up in the air? And I wondered if she wore plastic shoes, thinking that this made her superior because no leather was used. Did she ever think about where that plastic came from? Did she ever think about the environmental consequences of creating the plastic for those shoes? I tend to think she didn't. The reason I say that is because A lot of the people that I've met who claim to be supporters of animal rights know very, very little about the behavior of the animals whose rights they claim to protect, and they know even less about the environment in which those animals live. And they know very little about those animals' physiology. So if they claim to speak for the rights of these animals, and they know little or nothing about their behavior, their physiology and health, and their environments, what rights are they talking about? I thought a lot about this that summer. Exactly what animal rights is this woman so determined to protect? And the only thing I could come up with is that they were the rights that she believed she would want if she were that animal. So she really wasn't talking about the animal's rights, she was talking about her own rights. And the bumper sticker on her car might have said, "I speak for the animals." But what she was really saying is, "I speak for myself." And in the end, that's really all any of us can do. It's just that some of us are more willing to admit it than others.
You've been listening to a podcast by veterinary ethologist Myrna Milani. For more podcasts, commentaries and books about animal behavior and the human-animal bond, and links to behavior and bond sites, check out my website at www.mmilani.com. For more specific information, feel free to email me at mm@mmilani.com. All rights related to the content of these podcasts are retained by Myrna Milani. The background music, Molly on the Shore by Percy Granger, is used with permission from Katova Arts, www.katova.com.